There hadn't been an act of piracy in the system for over 2.5 centuries, but the possibility of a suicide attack against Trafalgar was uppermost in the minds of Navy tacticians. Strategic sensor coverage was absolute out to a distance of 2 million kilometers from the planetary surface. Reaction time by the patrolling Void Hawks was near instantaneous. Starships emerging outside designated areas took a formidable risk in doing so. Ilex was calling for help even before the wormhole terminus closed behind it. Auster had ordered the Void Hawk to fly straight to Avon over 400 light-years from Lalonde. Even for a Void Hawk, the distance was excessive. Ilex needed to recharge its energy-patterning cells after 10 swallows, which involved a prolonged interval of ordinary flight to allow its distortion field to concentrate the meager wisps of radiation which flitted through the interstellar medium. The voyage had taken 3.5 days. There were 60 people on board, and the Bitech life-support organs were rapidly approaching their critical limit. The air smelt bad. Membrane filters couldn't cope with the body gases. CO2 was building up, oxygen reserves were almost exhausted. Trafalgar was 5,000 kilometers away when the wormhole terminus sealed. Legally, it should have been 100,000, but a long sublight flight to a docking ledge would have pushed Ilex's life support situation from critical to catastrophic. The asteroid immediately went to defense condition C2, allowing the duty officer to engage all targets at will. Nuclear-pumped gamma-ray lasers locked onto the Void Hawk's hull within 3/4 of a second of the wormhole opening. Every Edenist officer in Trafalgar's Strategic Defense Command Center heard Ilex's call. They managed to load a 5-second delay order into the defense platforms. Auster gave a fast resume of the Void Hawk's situation. The delay was extended for another 15 seconds while the duty officer made her evaluation. A squadron of patrol Void Hawks closed on Ilex at 10 G's. "Stand down," the duty officer told the center, and datavised a lockdown order into the fire command computer. She looked across at the nearest Edenist. "And tell that idiot captain from me I'll fry his arse off next time he pulls a stunt like this." Ilex swooped in towards Trafalgar at 5 G's as traffic control cleared a priority approach path ahead of it. 6 patrol Void Hawks spiraled round it like overprotective avian parents, all 7 Bitech starships exchanging fast affinity messages of anxiety, interest, and mild rebuke. The northern axial crater was a scene of frantic activity while Ilex chased the asteroid's rotation, looping around the globular non-rotating spaceport to fly in parallel to the spindle. It settled on a titanium pedestal with 8 balloon-tire maintenance vehicles and crew buses racing towards it, bouncing about in the low gravity. Lalonde's Navy office personnel disembarked first, hurrying along the airlock tube to the waiting bus, all of them taking deep gulps of clean, cool air. A medic team carried Nils Regger off in a stretcher, while 2 pediatric nurses soothed and patted a blubbering Shafi Banerjee. Environment maintenance vehicles plugged hoses and cables into the crew toroid's umbilical sockets, sending gales of fresh air gusting through the cabins and central corridor. Resender, Ilex's life support officer, simply vented the fouled atmosphere they'd been breathing throughout the voyage, and grey plumes jetted up out of the toroid, seeded with minute water crystals that sparkled in the powerful lights mounted on the spindle to illuminate the crater. Once the first bus trundled away, a second nosed up to the airlock. A 10-strong marine squad in combat fatigues and armed with chemical projectile guns marched on board. Rodri Payton, the squad's captain, saluted an exhausted, unwashed and unshaven Lieutenant Murphy Hewlett. "This is her?" he asked skeptically. Jacqueline Couture stood in the middle of the corridor outside the airlock, with Heron van Ewyk and Garrett Tucci training their Bradfields on her. She was even dirtier than Murphy, the checked pattern of her cotton shirt almost lost below the ingrained grime picked up in the jungle. "I'm tempted to let her show you what she can do," Murphy said. Kelvin Solanke stepped forwards. "All right, Murphy," he turned to the Marine captain. "Your men are to have at least 2 weapons covering her at all times. She's capable of emitting an electronic warfare effect, as well as letting loose some kind of lightning bolt. Don't try to engage her in physical combat. She's quite capable of ripping you apart.